I thank you for everyone that came here this morning, and I ask that you encourage them by opening our eyes, letting us see more and more of who you are. I need that as well, Jesus. I need you to open my eyes. So do that for me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just a very quick explanation. Our ministry started in Amsterdam, where my wife and I felt like God wanted us to start a church for punks and anarchists. And it's a long story, but we ended up starting this band. And this band was a way that we could go into anarchy festivals and places like that to present Jesus to people. We saw God start a church there, and we've seen thousands of people come to Jesus all over the planet. We're working now in 9 countries. But God is always pushing me. You know, He's always trying. He's always pushing me out of my comfort zone. And recently I had an experience where this guy said, you know, we're going to be transporting these skate punks from a skate ramp to this other venue, and I want you to get on the bus and preach to them. They won't want to listen to you. They're very hostile, but because they're on the bus, they won't be able to escape. And I thought, you know, this isn't a good idea. And he said, and you only have about 15 minutes because it's a very, you know, it's not that far from where they're, you know, from the skate ramp to this other place. And I'm going, this is crazy. And I'm saying, you know, this isn't good. And I kept trying to talk the guy out of it. And he said, no, you have to do this. You have to do this. And I'm walking, I'm pacing. I'm going, God, please, I don't want to do this. But I couldn't get out of it. So I thought, okay, you know, this is one of those situations where God wants me to be a fool. He just wants me to be willing to just be rejected. You know, Jesus was rejected, so now it's my, you know, I can do that, and I can talk about it in a message about humility. You know, how I had to do this crazy thing, and everyone laughed at me and threw things at me. So I get on this bus with all these skater kids, and they're totally, turn off your cell phone, please. Anyway, I get on this bus with all these skater kids, and they are totally not into God at all. They're hostile. And the bus driver says to me, should I drive slow? And I said, sure, why not? So he goes, okay, go ahead. So they're, you know, the bus is driving. So I'm standing at where the driver is. And I thought, okay, I might as well just tell them about Jesus. So I just started telling them that Jesus was the only thing that would give them what they were looking for. I told them they had to humble themselves. I told them the truth about what Jesus did for them. And finally I said, okay, I thought, you can't give an altar call in a bus. You know, I didn't know what to do. So I thought, all right, if you want to know Jesus, stand on top of your seat. So I stood between, like, straddled between two seats by the driver, and I said, and the bus is kind of going like this. And I'm going, okay, if you want to know Jesus, stand on top of your seat. And like 3/4 of the bus, these guys are standing on top of their seats. They're all just standing there, hanging on like this. And people are watching, you know, on the street, wondering what's going on. And I said, okay, then I want you to pray out loud, Jesus, come into my life. And so we're going around corners and everything, and all these skate punks are hanging on to the bus. Everyone's standing on their seats, and these guys are crying out to Jesus and saying, Jesus, please come into my life. And it's like God was saying, David, when are you going to stop putting limits on what's possible, what I can do? You know, when are you going to start thinking that it has anything to do with methods or with, you know, because one of the things that we use is like in our band, we show what Jesus did on the cross, and it's a real way of connecting with a secular audience and showing them who Jesus is. And God is saying, David, it has nothing to do with methods. It's me. It's my power. And I want you to quit limiting what is possible, what you think I can do and not do. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith, by definition, means doing something beyond what I can do. Faith is meaning I can't do this unless God comes through. It's impossible for me unless God does it. And then it says, I need to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now you're thinking, but this is so basic. But how many people never in their entire walk with Jesus ever understand this? You know, if God exists, you know, I say that he exists. I sing about it in church this morning. I talk about it. I wear t-shirts that say God exists. And it says that if God exists, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Not he might reward me if I seek him with my whole heart. He might answer me if I seek him with my whole heart. It says that he will. Now, why is it that I don't see things happening? You know, you're going, well, I've done this and I haven't seen anything dramatic. Well, I think it's because we have too casual of an attitude about what it means to seek God. It's like when my son was young and he was my oldest son and he was sick and he had to go to this hospital. And so it was in Amsterdam. And so I prayed for him before he went into the hospital to have this operation. And I didn't trust this hospital. I thought they were incompetent. And I didn't like, you know, just how the doctors acted and everything. And I remember I prayed for my son, and he went in to have this operation. And I went out into the city park in the middle of Amsterdam. And I was really upset. You know, and I'm walking in this park. And I'm going, God, I obeyed you. I am here in Amsterdam because you asked me to be here. And now my son is having this operation. And I don't trust these doctors. And I could be back in America where there's better medicine and where I believe he'd get better care. But I'm obeying you. I'm here in Amsterdam doing what you've asked me to do. You need to take care of my son. And I was really upset. And so, and when I pray, you know, I walk. So I'm walking in this city park and I'm talking out loud and I have this angry look on my face because I was, and so everyone in the park thought I was a lunatic. They thought, here's this crazy guy walking, you know, it's like a park out here, but it's full of people. And I'm walking in this park and I'm talking out loud and people were afraid of me because they thought I was crazy or insane or something. But I didn't care because I needed God to come through for me. I didn't care what other people thought. I wasn't casual about it. You see, we don't see God do great things in our life because we're too casual. We don't really know what it means to seek God with our whole hearts. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. And then he talks about a widow. He talks about a woman who has no money. She's old. She has no power. And then there's a judge who's corrupt. And this judge does not care about justice. He's totally corrupt. And here is a widow who's helpless. But this widow keeps crying out to this corrupt judge, give me justice! Give me justice! And she keeps crying out, knocking at his door, crying out to this corrupt judge. Finally, Jesus said, because of her persistence, the corrupt judge gave her what she was asking for. That's what Jesus meant when he said, ask. Jesus said, knock and the door will be open to you. Jesus didn't say, tap. He said, knock, pound. He said, seek and you will find. And he talks again about this woman who loses a precious coin. And so she takes all the furniture out of the house. She takes everything out of the house and puts it in the yard, takes a little comb and she sweeps every corner of the house until she finds this precious coin. That's what Jesus meant when he said seek. You see, dependency on God is a trait I have seen in people who are really moving in the power of God. I can remember I was with this guy once. He was so filled with the power of God, I thought I was with Jesus. He was the guy that he was in South America, and these guys were going to execute him. And he said, well, if I'm going to die, I want to die with a Bible in my hand. And he picked up this Bible, and this force came and pushed all these soldiers to the ground. And they're all, like, pinned to the ground by this force that pushed them to the ground. And they're all, you know, they're all crying out, you know, por favor, please, please. And he just got in his Jeep and drove away. One night, he was spending the night in prayer with a friend you know, crying out to God. And Jesus himself came to him on the water. And it wasn't something that he just saw. His friends saw it as well. One time the Pope called him up and said, "Would you spend some time with me?" And so the Pope sent a helicopter. And they picked him up and he spent 3 days with the Pope. I'd be with him on the streets in Amsterdam, a cynical, hard place. And he'd be talking to somebody on the street. And I was with him. And all of a sudden I would see this guy all of a sudden drop to his face on the street and cry out to God. I've never been around anyone with more of God's power and more of God's anointing. And one day I was getting ready to go with him in the city. And we were on a street where a lot of junkies were, and where they would urinate on the street, and there's like, needles on the street, a real filthy street. And I'm looking for my friend, because we were getting ready to go in the city to tell people about Jesus. And I look, and he's doing this. It's a dirty street, and he wasn't doing this for my benefit, because I just happened to see him. He was like this. He was laying on the ground, like this, right on the cobblestone. And then after he did that for a while, he got up, and he had like filth all over his face, and he's wiping it off like this. He's like on his nose. He's wiping this filth off his face. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, he didn't like it that I saw what he did." And I go, "Why are you doing that? Why are you laying on the street?" And he said, "I do this before I go out to tell people about Jesus, because I want God to know, I want to show Jesus how dependent I am, how desperate I am on Him, how much I need Him." You know, when I got really excited about God, like a lot of you are, I thought, okay, God wants to use me. So I decided I was going to do this discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. So I went to Holland to do this school. But nobody would give me any responsibility. I mean, I thought, here I am, this great man of God, and no one will give me any responsibility. I mean, we had to do these chores, and one of them is to do the dishes, right? And they had a dish squad leader. And they wouldn't even let me be a stupid dish squad leader. And I thought, I can't believe these people. But then I thought, our chance is coming. We're going to go into Amsterdam and have this street meeting. And then, God will use me and my leaders will see what a great guy I am. And, you know, this will be my big chance, right? So I'm waiting for this time when we're going to go into Amsterdam to have this street meeting. And just as we're getting ready to go, this girl comes to where I'm staying. And she goes, "You're not going anywhere. You have to stay here. You have work duty." And she left. And it was a cold, rainy night in January. And she left, and I was so upset. And I remember I left this bungalow where I was staying. It was at night. And I went out into the forest. And the next thing I knew, I found myself laying with my face in the mud. I just kind of collapsed, and I was laying with my face in the mud. And I said, "Jesus, I don't care about ministry. I don't care if I ever do anything. Forget about it. All I want to do is know you. I just want to know you. That's all I care about. Forget ministry. I want to know you." And so then I would go for long walks in the forest. I'd carry a little Bible in my back pocket. And I'd go at night because it would make me more focused. And sometimes I'd get lost. Sometimes I'd walk until the sun would come up. And I would just cry out to God. And I'd tell Him everything I was feeling. And I would tell Him all my frustrations. And I would talk to Him about everything that was on my heart. And I spent hours crying out to God. You see, God wants me to seek Him with my whole heart. And then I started to see a breakthrough in my life. And God started doing things in my life. And then this band started, and we were seeing unbelievable things happen. And we're getting ready to go to Budapest to play in these clubs there. And then I started feeling kind of sick. And I go to the doctor, and I find out that I have hepatitis. And so the doctor says that I can't go anywhere because I have hepatitis and I have to be in bed for a month. And we have to cancel the tour. And so I'm laying in my bed and I'm going, God, why did you let me get sick? You know, we could have gone to these clubs and we had these great opportunities to tell these people about you. What sin have I committed that you had to let me get sick? And as I was laying there and asking God this, I felt like God said, it's not because of a sin in your life. I'm not saying it's because I'm perfect, but I didn't feel like God was saying because of some sin in my life. And I said, well, is it because you want to show me something? You know, is there some new direction you want to give me? And I'm laying there, and I felt like God said, no, I don't want to give you any new direction. So I'm going, well, God, why did you let me get sick then? Why? And I felt like God said, because David, I want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And the only way that I could get you to slow down was to let you be sick. I just want to be with you. And so for the rest of that month, I just spent time with Jesus. You see, Jesus wants to be with me. He wants to be my friend. In James 5, it says, Elijah was a man just like us. A man just like us. He didn't walk on water. He wasn't a superhero or something. He was a normal human being. I don't believe James would say that if it wasn't true. Elijah was a man just like me, just like you. But then it said that he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You see, God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. But the reason I don't do it is because I'm lazy. It's a discipline to seek Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever had conversations like this, but I was having, wouldn't it be cool conversation. I was talking to my drummer, and I was saying, wouldn't it be cool if we could tour with Marilyn Manson? You know, because I have a friend in Singapore who's he works in management and all that, and I had spent some time with this guy, and I was going, wouldn't it be cool if we could tour with Marilyn Manson? Think of how we could, you know, who we could, even to see this guy give his life to you and to Jesus. And just, I was going, now I'm talking to my drummer. We're in this coffee shop drinking all kinds of coffee. Wouldn't it be cool if we could tour with Marilyn Manson? He's going, yeah, wouldn't it be cool? You know, we're going, wouldn't it be cool, wouldn't it be cool? And as we're having the wouldn't it be cool conversation, it's like the Holy Spirit broke into my heart and said, David, you know, if you would seek me with your whole heart, I could do things like this. If you would cry out to me, I could do things like this in your life. You know, every single breakthrough that I've had in my life has come because I have sought God with my whole heart. When I was going to university, I was going to the University of Minnesota, and I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to do with my life. And I would spend hours, you know, walking across the university and walking, you know, from, if you know Minneapolis, I'd walk from the West Bank to the IDS building and back. And I'd be crying out to God, God, what do you want to do with my life? What is it that you have for me? You know, and I talked to him about all the things that I was feeling, crying out to God, and God led me to Europe. And then I'm in Europe, and I felt like God wanted me to start a church for these punks and anarchists in Amsterdam. And I'm going, this is, how am I supposed to do this? So I would go out into the forest with my little team, you know, like, you know, just a few of us in this van, and we drive to these heather fields, and we light these bonfires out in the heather fields, and we'd march around these bonfires, crying out to God, Jesus, please help us. Help us to do this. We can't do this, God. And sometimes we pray until the sun would come up. God, help us. Give us your power. And a church got started in Amsterdam for the punks and the anarchists. every single breakthrough that I have ever seen in my life has come because I've sought God with my whole heart. You know, some of you here, you're going, what is God's will for my life? You know, what is the next step for my life? If you make knowing God your priority, you won't have to worry about anything. Seek God. Seek God. We want to do everything but seek God. You know, go to the next conference, the next seminar, the next retreat. But I'm telling you, if you start to seek God with your whole heart, your life will be revolutionized. You know, and I don't know what's best for you. I know some people, they pray better when they're in a, like I know this guy, they pray in a cave because it's good, that makes them focus. Some people like praying in their room, under their bed, whatever. When, you know, sometimes a good place to pray is in a graveyard because you can do things in there and no one bothers you. But I can tell you this, if you start seeking Jesus, your life will be revolutionized. It's like this guy, you know, he went into his room and he put a map of the world on the floor and he said, Jesus, I am not leaving this room until you show me where you want me to go. This is what I'm talking about. Telling you, God exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. There is nothing impossible for Jesus. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to everyone who believes. Seek God with your whole heart. Seek God with your whole heart. If just a handful of people would listen to what I'm saying this morning, there'd be an explosion in this church. There is a great harvest and there are few workers. God is looking for people He can call, not simple, ordinary people. People who would be willing to seek Him with their whole heart. And if you do that, if you start to seek Jesus with your whole heart, no individual, no institution, no corrupt system, no political agenda, no weakness, no limitations in your life will keep you from your destiny. Nothing will be impossible for me if I start to seek God with my whole heart. So that's the challenge I want to give you this morning. Because in order to please God, you need to have faith. You need to believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Lord Jesus, this truth is so incredibly, so important, it's so revolutionary, and yet it seems so hard for me to want to do it, Lord. And I guess it's because it is what's going to make a difference. It's the thing that makes what I do nuclear, makes it powerful. There are a lot of men and women in this church this morning who are at a crossroads in their life. They're making big decisions, big life decisions. And I ask that they will start to begin by seeking You with their whole hearts, getting to know You, start crying out to You, Jesus, because I know if they do, their life will be revolutionized. Lord, I pray that this church, I know, Lord, You're doing amazing things in this church, but Lord, it's a mustard seed. A mustard seed compared to what You want to do. Listen, you guys, I'm not talking theory here. I'm walking on the beach in New Zealand and I'm talking to God and I'm saying, God, I'd love to do something in Brazil. You know, I just thought, no particular reason, I just thought I'd be interesting to do something in Brazil. And I'm walking, I'm going, God, wouldn't it be great to do something in Brazil? Man, I would love to do something in Brazil. And I'm just walking, God, I'd love to do something in Brazil. And then I go back and I check my email. And it's from a guy named Sandro from Sao Paulo. And he said, I heard you're coming to Brazil. Can I set up a tour for you there? I'm watching a BBC documentary on this underground punk festival. I'm watching this festival. They're interviewing the guy from this band. You know, a very famous band there. And I'm watching him being interviewed, talking about his frustrations and everything. And I'm going, man, God, I'd love to go to that, talk to that guy about you. And I feel like God said, go to the festival. So I get in the van, this van with my band. We drive to this alternative underground festival. I end up praying with members of that band and leading them to Jesus. I see them on a BBC documentary. God leads me to that festival. I see the guys that I saw in the BBC documentary, and I end up leading them to Jesus. We get invited to go to some of these heavy gothic clubs, like Madam Satan. And they hear that we're Christians, and they go, forget it, you can't play here. You know, what are you, nuts? You can't play here. And so I'm kind of going, oh, I feel better. You know, I thought I was going to have to do this. Now God has closed the door. And so it was an obedience thing to see if I'd be willing to do it. Now I don't have to. And I'm kind of feeling good about it. But then it's like the Holy Spirit started stirring me up. And I started going, God, aren't you big enough to be in Madam Satan? You know, I say that you are powerful and nothing's impossible for you. Why, God, can't we be in this club? You're more powerful than any spirit in Madam Satan. And I'm saying, Jesus, open this door for me. Open this door for me. I'll go. I won't back down. I won't be ashamed of you. And think of the glory I'll be able to give you if you let me go into this club. And I'm crying out to God, open this door, God. Open this door. Don't let it shut. Please, Jesus, do something amazing. You know, I say you're powerful. Well, do something powerful in my life. I'm sick about hearing about other people doing it. Do it in my life. I don't want to be theoretical, Jesus. Give me an opportunity to put my faith on the line. And I am crying out to God, God, you can move in this club. Send me into this club. And God opened the door, and I prayed with the club owner of Madam Satan. God rewards those who seek Him. God rewards those who seek Him. And He wants us to break all these little boxes we put ourselves in. He wants us to quit thinking so small about what's possible and what's not possible. He's looking for people who will believe who He is. How many people who say they follow Jesus don't really believe in Him? How many people who say that God is powerful don't really believe it? Because they don't, it's not what I say with my words, it's how I live my life. And that's what the world needs to see. And that's what God wants to do to every person who claims to follow Jesus. Well, you know, it's like, oh, I follow Jesus and I just do normal things. And you can follow Jesus and just be normal too. What's that? That doesn't give any glory to God. You know, I've got this relationship with the ultimate life force, but it doesn't do anything, and it doesn't mean anything. And you can have that too. What do you think the people at this university need to see? You know, what do you think they need? Do they just need this culture? They need the power of Jesus. What do you think these guys in these dorms and in these houses where I was walking this morning were only lied to all the time, what do they need? They need to see the power of Jesus. They need to see His reality. They need to see that following Jesus is extraordinary and that He takes weak, normal people and does amazing things. I'm telling you, there's a multitude, there's an army of people at that university that would give their hearts to the real Jesus, if only they would have a chance to see Him. And the only way they're going to ever see Him is when you get serious about seeking God with your whole heart. He didn't put this church in this town to make a little difference. He put this church in this town to make a big difference. But the only thing that keeps it happening is I'm not willing, I'm too lazy, I'm too selfish or whatever to start to seek God. God, I am not going to quit until you start to move. I am not going to quit. I'm going to keep crying out to you until you do what I ask. That's what God wants to do. Anyway, Lord, I just pray that you would not let me limit you. I'm sorry, Lord, that my faith is so small. I'm sorry, Lord, that I don't really believe that you exist sometimes and that you reward those who seek you. But I want to believe it, Lord. And I pray for everyone here that they will too, because it's true. And that you'll stir them up and make them mad, Lord, at the small faith they've accepted in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.